from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Rob Ninkovich.
He was on with the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning. And he's saying, everybody relax. You can't start Drake May. If you start him, then he's going to go out there. He's going to get killed. I've heard that over and over again.
Why?
You can't put him out there. He's going to get killed. Drake May, if you play him, he's going to get killed. He'll be out for the year. It's going to ruin him. He's going to be ruined mentally, physically, all these things. Going to be just completely ruined. Do you think that little of Drake May mentally?
Like, I do not.
Right? Like, I mean, I feel like that's really selling the kid short, if that's how you feel. Well, if you put him out there and the team's no good, he's going to get ruined. He's just going to be completely ruined like Mac Jones was ruined. I don't look at him that way.
I don't really worry about either, because to me, you can't worry about injuries. But if you said, are you worried about him getting killed mentally or physically more, it would be physically.
Physically, I'd agree with
mentally,
that.
Mentally, I see somebody who is made for this, mm-hmm. is ready for this. And what that exactly means and how that would play out, I don't know. But is there a chance, like, they blow out his ACL and then he takes a full year plus to recover and now he's 2 years in and you're still trying to get experience for him? Yeah, sure, that could happen. But, you know, Joe Burrow got hurt and he seemed fine.
He did.
Right? Like,
and then Andrew Luck got hurt and retired at 29. So, I mean, there's
but he got hurt and then hurt and
right.
then hurt and then hurt and then hurt. Like, it was it wore
They
on
never
him.
Protected him, yeah.
Right. That was a long-term issue, not a one-off seasonal issue. But no, mentally, do I think they could break him? I don't think you break.
Not this year.
If he's really good.
3 more years of this, maybe.
I guess. But if he's as good as he's supposed to be, there won't be 3 more years of this because he'll be a part of the solution in the future. I have this. You don't break quarterbacks. They're already breakable. And I don't think he's breakable. I think he's a good one. I think he's a special one. I think he has the total makeup. And I think the Patriots have alluded to this with last year being more of a struggle and how he wouldn't throw teammates under the bus and everything he had to deal with and handle and the whole stupid story about they went way too long watching his worst game ever against NC State, so they didn't have time to get to his good game. I'm buying the story, hook, line, and sinker, the narrative. I really am.
You're all in. All in on Drake May.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't I be? Give me a reason to not be all in on Drake May.
Well, because he fell off in his sophomore year. Didn't have as good of a statistical season in the ACC. I mean, that's why I wasn't as high on him as other people. But, you know, that's a reason, I think.
But, you know, guys do that. Like, guys fall off.
Sure.
Caleb Williams fell off last year.
That's
so
why I wasn't a big
either,
fan
right?
of him. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan
Caleb
of any
Caleb Williams
of these
against Notre
honestly.
Dame. You know, that would have been a long conversation if
Definitely.
The Patriots sat down with him. What went wrong here and here and here? Oh, and let's go back to you crying on your mama's shoulder. You know, you want to tell us about that?
Absolutely.
And what's the deal with the pendant you gave all your linemen that looks like a ball sack?
Saw that. Is that real?
It seemed to be.
I thought that was like an internet joke. If you haven't seen it, there's like this gold-plated scrotum, basically.
Yeah, it looks like
it's
the
not
thing.
Real. Okay.
It wasn't?
It says it's not real.
You sure about that? I don't know. A lot of
it looked like it couldn't have been real. Like, it looked like there's no way.
Well, yeah, it looked like
that.
The thing that some of those trucks have. You pull up behind a truck and they have it dangling from the trailer hitch.
Every time I'm in New Hampshire, which is often, I see at least like a half a dozen.
I hate those.
Things.
They offend me. I don't get offended by much. Those offend me.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just the human anatomy. There's nothing wrong with that.
That was a fake Dove Kleinman account.
A fake Dove Kleinman tweet?
If there's anything worse than the real Dove Kleinman.
Here they are. Okay, if you're watching on Twitch, you can see right now this was not actually something that was given. It's got like veins.
All right, relax. You don't have to describe it so specifically.
Gross. Oh, that's gross. But yeah, that is not something that Caleb Williams did. Out of the three top three guys, Daniels won the Heisman. So I was like, all right, he played at LSU. I know he had those 4 years at Arizona State that weren't great, but he eventually figured it out, and it looks like he's maybe the best talent out of these three guys. And I read into that, you know? Like, I know tools are important, and it's important to sort of, you know, not necessarily look at the entire body of work in college, but also what they can develop into. That's all fair, and I agree with that. But in terms of, like, who's going to rescue a team right away, a team that needs help and a turnaround quickly, I wasn't really all that sold on any of these guys.
So if you made me the top three, well, let's just do the top three.
Mm-hmm.
I know May doesn't get included in the top three when it comes to the NFL player survey.
No, he does not. He's not even in the top five.
But he was drafted third, so he's in the top three.
Yep.
Which of the top three is most physically breakable?
Physically breakable, probably
Jaden Daniels.
Probably Daniels, I'd say.
He weighs like a, remember, he was afraid
he's a little guy, yeah, right.
Because there was speculation he weighed like 178 pounds or something and super skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Which of the top three is most mentally fragile, breakable?
I would say Williams for sure.
The guy who was balling on his mother's shoulder and the guy whose dad wanted to basically break tax laws in Illinois with his contract and everything.
They wanted him to like own a part of the team or something.
Very
right?
shady.
That was some
the
weird
whole thing.
Rumor. A lot of fake stuff has come out about Caleb Williams too, so I don't know if that
one
is
not all real,
true.
But I believe some of it. I absolutely believe some of it. So, therefore, you got the most physically and mentally capable quarterback of the top three, correct?
Well, not necessarily. I don't think that Drake May is as physically gifted as Jaden Daniels.
Probably not.
I think Daniels
is
probably
not as breakable.
He's not as breakable, that's true. He's maybe not as likely to get injured, but that's different from being a better physical specimen. You know what I mean? Like,
But he has his own mix of talents that are in that world.
In the world, sure. And I don't think he's really that far behind. I mean, I didn't love any of those three, but I'd say that...
How did you not love any of those three?
I just didn't like their seasons that they had, watching them play.
Wow.
And I was watching them closely. I mean, this was a big season. I knew that the Patriots were going to be looking at quarterbacks, and I was watching these guys, and I was underwhelmed by watching them most of the year. I watched a lot of Caleb Williams games last year. He was better the year before. Same with Drake May. They both, in their year before, this past season, 2023, were much better, and I feel like their stock dropped. So, no, I wasn't that high on them.
I actually think there is nothing better in a prospect than a season in which their stock dropped, because that means they're a multi-year prospect. And I love those guys. You know what I hate? I fear the one-year wonders. That's
like,
how
C.J. Stroud?
How about Mitchell Trubisky?
Trubisky, all right,
fellow
that's a good
North
example.
Carolina
sure,
guy.
Fine.
You think he would have fallen off if he had, I don't know, had a second season as the starting quarterback at North Carolina?
He might have. Yeah.
You might have seen some of the warts. I would be scared to hell as an NFL GM to draft the Zach Wilson and the Mitchell Trubiskys that are one-year wonders. I want the guy that's done it for multiple years and teams game planned for him and people took pot shots at him because he was the big stud quarterback on the other team. I want those guys because that's at least a precursor to the pressure and the trials and tribulations they're going to face at the next level in the
NFL. That's fair, but that's not really what I was saying. I'm not talking about one-year wonders. I'm talking about building off of your strong sophomore year or freshman year, whatever it is, and then getting better the
next
year.
You know who got worse in college? Two-time NFL MVP Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He faded.
Fair. He did.
He's okay, huh?
And that's why he's drafted later on. You're right about that. I mean, there's examples on both
sides. I love the multi-year guys that have to continue to prove it. Hey, Mac Jones, how many good years did he have?
Two.
He had one. Yeah. He had one. He was a one-year wonder.
When he took over for Hurts,
he played
he
a
good.
Little bit. Yeah, but he had 1 year.
Fine, he had one.
It was too good and too
ish.
Easy.
One.
So
change.
Mitchell Trubisky bust. Mac Jones bust. Zach Wilson bust. 1 year wonders bust. You know who wasn't a bust? Joe Burrow, who was basically a 1 year guy, and he was awesome and still
that's
is.
That's true. Yeah, yeah,
still is.
It does not help your argument, but that's good that you brought it up. That's
hey,
fair.
That's what I do.
617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. He has a thought on the quarterbacks. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. So, great show, you guys. I do sincerely mean this.
Thank you.
You guys are really good together.
Appreciate
you're
it.
Really good together.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So here's my thing on the quarterbacks, and this is why I'm watching Boston College, and I'm going to divert back to my 49ers as a fan because the Patriots is a horrible situation. But I will say this on Drake May, not starting him on week one. We all know the first few weeks, it's a very tough schedule.
Right.
New England's going to get killed. So the fact that New England's going to get killed, why would you want to expose this young kid who shouldn't have come out through the draft yet? I think he should have waited one more year. And why would you want to expose him? Because he's going to get killed. So you know what? You're better off putting Prisett out there. He gets hurt, you know, for those few weeks. Hopefully not.
Well, if he gets hurt, then May's going to have to come in, David, right? I mean, like, if he gets hurt in the first 2 weeks, then May's going to have to come in anyway.
Yeah, so let's hope he doesn't get hurt. But I do believe this is actually a right choice for that reason, because you put Drake May out there in the beginning, that could really do this kid in, because he's not ready to battle teams like that. He's not.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Apparently, David has never heard me say you can't break a diamond.
That's true.
Josh Allen, was he ready?
Josh Allen, when he first came out? No.
No.
I don't think so.
He was more,
and he got better over time.
He was probably more raw than Drake May.
Yeah.
He was a raw, raw project type quarterback.
He was.
Now, I went back and looked at the Bills. So their left tackle was Deion Dawkins. He was a pretty good left tackle.
Good player, right? Yeah.
He started all 16 games. But remember Vladimir Dukas, Boston College, right?
Vaguely. I remember the name, I think. But
he played nine games at left guard.
Okay.
Russell Bodine, who the Patriots actually traded for after.
I remember that, yep.
He played 10 games at center. So the two interior linemen were hurt. Then they had John Miller and Jordan Mills. I don't know if those are any guys.
I don't remember.
That was what, and he got sacked like 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did it ruin him? Did it crush him? Did it? Nope. Next year he made the playoffs. The year after that, he's like an MVP candidate, and he's well on his way to being either the best quarterback in the league or the most overrated, depending on player survey,
right.
But or both.
And we'll also see what he looks like without all his weapons now. I mean, Diggs
has got Shakir.
Like, he does have Shakir, but I mean, that's a bit of a drop-off, I'd say, from Steph Diggs. 617-779-7937. By the way, we are not in the Fenway studio today, but when we are, it's brought to you by our New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, I believe that the problems here now and this decision that was made today was made directly because of the roster Elliott Wolf put together. I'm blaming him. I'm not blaming Jerod Mayo. I think this is a Elliott Wolf production. He's going to have to wear this. And I'll tell you all about it right after Jackson tells you what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending today, the New England Patriots and head coach Jerod Mayo have announced that Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback this season. And back-to-back wins for the Sox after last night's 3-0 victory over the Blue Jays at Fenway. Starter Brian Bayo went 8 scoreless innings, gave up only 2 hits, struck out 9. Kenley Jansen got the save for his 25th. The Sox are 3 games back of the final wild card spot. And you can hear tonight's finale with the Blue Jays on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is at 7:10, and our coverage starts at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil. That is what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That was Drake May during his media scrum in front of his locker, which lasted about 5 times longer than the Jerod Mayo press conference, if that tells you anything. And he was asked, you know, do you think you could have done anything different? Do you think you could have played better? Do you think you could have played in a way that would have made it just impossible for them to go with Jacoby Brissett? And he said, no, I left it all out in the field. That was the best I had. Do you agree with that, by the way? Do you think he could have played better and swayed them to start him? Like, if he had been much, much better, they would have been like, all right, we got to play him then.
Yeah, he was far from perfect.
Okay.
I mean, he was
But even if he was perfect, like, was there a plan or not, I guess, is the point.
There was a plan, but if he was perfect, you know, we've talked about that first week was when Jacoby Brissett clearly looked like the better pro-ready veteran guy. Mm-hmm. If Drake right out the gates had been equal then, and then it's why
and
I
built off of that. Yeah.
But it's why I bitched about the lack of snaps against the Panthers in the first preseason game. I thought Drake May needed those. Like, give him more reps. He needs more reps against a bad defense who's resting their best quote-unquote players. And you can't get those reps back. Like, it's a short period of time for a guy to prove he's worthy and ready of playing. And that's why the comparisons to C.J. Stroud came up when people were talking about he looked bad against the Patriots. He was throwing a lot of picks in training camp practices. Like, he was struggling. He was not a wower right out the gates. He was in a dogfight, a QB battle. He won it, and he took off, and his developmental rise, you know, obviously was impressive, and that's why I thought it kind of screwed Drake to not get more reps in that game.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You're letting Bailey Zappe play? We don't need to see Zappe.
You know, how about just in practice? Milton. How about just in practice in general? I mean, right. You know, you had a lot of these practices going towards the end here. In the second game, in that Eagles game, I mean, there's no question about it. Drake May was the better quarterback in that game. I mean, there's no doubt. And I think after that game, I myself and a lot of other people all assumed, okay, that game, that performance there from Drake May, and in some ways the lack of performance maybe from Jacoby Brissett,
oh, yeah,
should earn May some reps with the first team this week.
Which he never got, he pointed out.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of times, I think, where Andrews came out and he was the center.
It was weird.
But it wasn't like the whole offensive line. It wasn't the first team wideouts.
To be fair, that's tough to tell with this team who the ones truly are.
That's a good point.
David Andrews is a big marker. Mike Onwenu is a big marker. I would say Hunter Henry would be a marker, but he's been hurt the whole time.
The wide receivers, it could be anybody, yeah.
DeMario Douglas, I think you probably would say, is the one. But DeMario Douglas let him down in a practice. He actually took reps late in the camp with DeMario Douglas. Deep ball down the middle. Drake May hits him in the... And DeMario Douglas drops it. Mm. So he was let down by his receivers. I firmly believe that. If his receivers had been better and made plays for him, there would have been a better chance of Drake May taking the reins. But as he pointed out, Jacoby took all the first-team reps.
Right.
So it was kind of...
So it didn't matter.
Set in stone or whatever.
By the way, what you just said could be applied, maybe not the entire 3 years, but could be applied to Mac Jones, too. Jones had some throws to Schuster, had some throws to Parker, had some throws to Thornton. All those guys that they just dropped. I mean, it was wide open. He threw a ball right in the basket there, and those guys couldn't catch it.
And that's part of playing quarterback and overcoming it.
Well, it's part of playing quarterback on a team with crappy wide receivers, which is what Drake May or even some good ones, whoever else is going to be doing. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Terrell Owens dropped as many passes as anybody, and he's one of the greatest receivers ever. Like, there's a certain quarterback's a tough position to play. There's a reason why everybody calls it the toughest position in all of sports, whether it's Robert Kraft, Alex Van Pelt. Because there's the physical, the mental, the pressure, the external, the internal, receivers can get bitchy because that's kind of what they do if you miss them. But a quarterback's not allowed to get bitchy if his receiver drops it. Like, that's how it's supposed to work, right?
Right.
Like, you don't want that mentality of being, you know, the body language. Everybody will start checking out the body language of the quarterback. There's just so many layers to why it's such a almost unfair position. Really,
yeah,
to play.
It's true. And a lot of it, you know, is it's partially what you do, but a lot of it's what other people
do. Right. And especially early on, like once you're established, like for years and years and years, if I watch something on the practice field and the ball just flails by and you're like, wow, the receiver and the quarterback weren't on the same page. Right. Guess whose fault it was? The receivers.
Yeah.
Because the quarterback was Tom Brady. And I'm just assuming he knew what the hell he was doing there. So it was the receiver's fault. But now early on, whose fault is it? I don't know. I got a bad quarterback, a young receiver. It could be either, both. Maybe neither knew what they were supposed to do on the play, and neither
and the
was...
offensive line all ran into each other, right. So he had to speed up the throw anyway. Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's just so much up in the air right now. This is losing. This is young quarterbacks. This is new coaches. This is new schemes. This is chaos.
Yeah, it is. It's a chaotic situation right now. And maybe keeping May out of it from a chaos perspective is the right move, but I just think in terms of, you know, the rest of the locker room, inspiring the team, caring about wins this season, I don't like it. I mean, I don't think anybody really likes it, except for, you know, Jacoby Brissett. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go up to the great state of Maine and talk to Jay, who thinks that Drake May ought to be starting. Is that right, Jay?
Hey, Hey, yeah, definitely. Thanks for taking the call, and congrats on the new show.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks.
Offensive lines aren't going to be assembled like the Dallas Cowboys or the San Francisco 49ers. As a Giants fan, I've watched us attempt to rebuild from Eric Flowers to Evan Neal and every turnstile in between. May is a talented kid, and he needs to start sooner than later, because if he doesn't, Andy Hart's going to have to add a new tier to the grading scale, because this season's going to be unwatchable plus.
Unwatchable plus. That sounds like a new streaming service.
Well, I had dubbed early on, fine plus is how I had described what Drake May was doing on the practice field. Wasn't wowing anybody, but was fine plus. He was doing what he should and then some. Unwatchable plus. I got to tell you, I'll take unwatchable plus. I think they might just be unwatchable.
Yeah,
I'm not sure we're getting the plus.
I'm not sure the plus was like a positive. You know, like they're so unwatchable. Like I think that's
so they're more like unwatchable minus.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way of putting it. Either way, if that's the case, I mean, if this is an unwatchable season, last year was an unwatchable season. If you draft a quarterback in the third round, don't play him. Put the veteran out there and have another unwatchable season with no offense and just no ability to get in the end zone, no ability to put drives together. You know, it's just punt, 1-2-3 kick or pick sixes and all that other stuff. It's hard for me to imagine that Robert, Jonathan, Robin Glazer, the entire brain trust over there is going to look at that and say, you know, we got to eat our vegetables here. We got to play Jacoby Brissett. We got to listen to what Elliott Wolf wants to do. We got to listen to what all these guys are saying and just sort of go with it, even though fans are tuning out, even though we're not selling out this stadium anymore, even though people aren't, you know, buying tickets to go up into the lighthouse anymore. And I have a hard time reckoning that, you know, that just seems like something they will not put up with. They're not going to put up with that year after year. And we're on how many years now since their last playoff win? That used to be the standard, Andy. That used to be what he said. You know, all right, it's been a while since we won a playoff game. We want to get back to that. You want to get back to the playoffs now. Now you want to get back to winning more games than you lose. I mean, really, the bar keeps moving, and I feel like if it gets down low enough, eventually the Crafts are going to say, enough of this, all right? Time to put the kid in, time to do something, time to move on from somebody. Like, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem like this is something that's going to be tenable for them. If it was the first year after losing Brady, if it was the first year you missed the playoffs and however long, then fine. You know, you get some leash there, but that's not what this is. We've already seen a rookie quarterback flame out. We've already seen fans start to care less about this team. And if that continues, if fans aren't excited about this team, if they're not even settling in to watch them on Sunday at the end of the year, which is what was happening last year, people were even watching this team on TV. I think the Crafts are going to have a problem with that.
Oh, I think they're going to have a problem because I don't think they're ready to deal with how bad it could be. Now, you just said something that's kind of struck me. Eat your vegetables?
Yeah.
That really is what's going on here, at least the way I do. Like, Jacoby Brissett is your vegetables.
Right.
He's probably good for you, in a sense, and you get him out of the way early. You eat him, because I do that with, if there's especially a vegetable I don't really like on my plate, and let's say there's, like, lasagna and zucchini.
Yeah.
I'm eating the zucchini quick, because I want to finish with the flavor of lasagna, something
right.
I like.
You want that to be in the palate.
Yes.
Yeah, right,
that's so, if we get Drake May later, and he's my lasagna, right? That works out. We get rid of the broccoli. We get rid of whatever you don't like, the cauliflower or something early. That's Jacoby Brissett. You need him.
Well, do you want to eat zucchini all year, I guess is the point? Like, you know,
I'd rather trade my, can I get extra lasagna and no cauliflower?
Right.
That's what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't apparently an option at this restaurant.
What's Joe Milton in this analogy?
Joe Milton is a spicy appetizer that could never be the main meal.
Okay. He's like jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, kind of, you right? couldn't yeah. have your whole meal be jalapeno poppers, right?
No.
But you kind of like jalapeno poppers.
I kind of do, yeah. I like jalapeno.
Now, they may have adverse effects on you or something. You eat too many of them, too much. But if you have a couple jalapeno poppers, you're happy.
Yeah, just a couple.
See? We came to a nice agreement there.
I think we did.
Poo-poo, my Putin, is what got you in trouble yesterday, thanks to the text
line. All right,
line.
You made it sound like we're talking about Vladimir Putin right now, but you're talking about poutine.
My poutine, sorry.
Poutine.
You poo-pooed my poutine.
No one insults the dear leader here in front of me. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to Rhode Island and talk to Sterling, who is down there, has a thought on Jacoby Brissett. Go ahead, Sterling.
Mayo, and it's a chaotic situation, but I think they're making the right decision by putting Brissett in first. Granted, we know May's eventually going to get the start, but it's a safer bet to go with Brissett. the veteran. Let him get out there. He'll see the mistakes. May will learn from that, and he'll be a better quarterback whenever he gets in there.
Sure. Hopefully. That's a theory.
Hopefully.
It's a theory. I don't know if I necessarily buy into it.
They put him on the sideline and say, hey, Drake, don't do that. Like, don't right. do everything you're seeing out here. Just don't do any of it.
But I almost feel like guys like Drake May aren't going to learn from Jacoby Brissett.
That's
they have
exactly
to learn.
The point. You have to learn from, right. like...
Because he thinks his arm's better. He thinks he right. can make throws that, yeah, I would have completed that throw. I can do that. He can't. I would have run around that pass rusher and then made the play. I'm better. No. There's going to be plays you need to learn from, but he's going to have to learn by touching the hot stove. He can't learn by watching somebody else get burnt.
Aaron Rodgers, maybe deep in his mind, thought, you know what, someday I'll be better than Brett Favre, but he didn't think he was better than Brett Favre his rookie year, I don't think. You know, actually, it's Aaron Rodgers.
He's an egomaniac, arrogant SOB.
Sure, but Brett Favre was considered at that time like one of the great quarterbacks right. in the history of the NFL. So, I mean, I think like that's someone you look up to. I don't think Drake May was looking up to Jacoby Brissett maybe the way Rodgers was looking up to Favre, or even the way that Jordan Love was looking up to Rodgers. Like, these are the examples that you use when you talk about Elliott Wolf, because Elliott Wolf was there in Green Bay, and this is the way they did it. They brought him along with all-time quarterbacks. And this is a point that's been made a bunch of times, but it's worth repeating here. That's not what you're doing. You're not sitting Drake May behind a Hall of Famer. You're not sitting him behind a Pro Bowler, even. You're sitting him behind a journeyman guy who's bounced around the league, and he's only ever started when the starter gets hurt. And that's sort of the point. Like, you know, you're not – what are you teaching him? What's he learning? He's learning what not to do, or is he going to go out there and learn like real tangible things about being the quarterback in the NFL watching Jacoby Brissett? It's hard to square that up, isn't it?
And he's not just a journeyman guy, he's new to you journeyman guy.
Right.
It's not even like, well, we feel like we owe him cuz he played last year or he won some games last year and like give him the shot. He wasn't here last year. Now, I know he has a history with Alex Van Pelt, and that probably plays a pretty significant factor here. If we're being honest, I think that might be the most significant factor here, is Alex Van Pelt's history with Jacoby Brissett. I think this might play out differently if Alex Van Pelt had a quarterback he had no comfort with, hadn't, you know,
that's
played
a good
with.
Point.
You know
I'd
what
say,
I mean?
Yeah.
If it was, I don't know, who's some run of the mill backup, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, Mariota. There you go. I'm sure.
Some guy. I think the pendulum might swing more May's way, but because of the trust and history and respect that Alex
Joe Flacco is the backup.
Yeah,
know?
Whatever.
Like, yeah, sure.
But because there is a relationship and a history with Alex Van Pelt, and he probably was a key factor in bringing Jacoby Brissett here. I think that plays a significant role here.
Well, that's annoying, and that I think you can blame on. I mean, it is. I mean, it's not just because it's annoying because of the quarterback situation. It's annoying because that's the entire philosophy of this team since they brought all these guys together. They're really, really scared of going outside their little bubble. You know, like they don't want to sign anybody from the outside. They don't want to draft.
What does that sound like?
It sounds like Bill
Belichick.
Kind of, yes, but that's at least with Bill Belichick. You know, he had a history of success. This is a brand new regime taking over a 4-win team, and they're so terrified of bringing in anybody they're not real familiar with or starting anybody that they're not super familiar with, that they're going to be trotting Jacoby Brissett out there to throw to the same guys that they had last year. You re-signed all your own players. That's what you spent all your money on because you were scared to go take a chance on Calvin Ridley or Tyron Smith or any of the other guys that were out there, and there weren't a lot, but you were the team that could have gone and signed them. You were the team, Jonah Williams. You were the team that should have gone out and signed Jonah Williams. You shouldn't have let him go to Arizona. Arizona shouldn't have been able to get him ahead of you. You still have the most money to spend. And they were scared to do it. They were scared to do it because it's new. It's a new job for Mayo. It's a new job for Van Pelt. It's a new job for Elliott Wolf. And they just want guys that they know and that they understand and they can communicate with. And that's soft. I'm sorry. That's soft if you're doing that with a 4-win team. You got to take a chance here. All right? You got to put yourself out there a little bit and try and get better, and I just feel like they didn't.
Do you think this is more annoying or detrimental?
Both, I guess. I mean,
it's definitely
detrimental, sure, but it's also annoying.
I don't know how detrimental it is to anybody involved. I don't know if it really hurts the team. I don't know if it's really going to hurt May long term.
I mean, are they going to be worse than 4 wins? If they do, then it hurts the team.
Depends on your perspective.
Okay, it's going to hurt the team this year, I guess. Maybe in the 5 years from now. Because
4 wins to me would be bad because I might pick third. I want to pick first. You keep fixating on wins like they matter this year. They don't. I think you're the only person in New England who wants to win.
I don't think I'm the only person in New England who wants to win. You don't think Jerod Mayo wants to win? You think he wants to go out there and go 0-17?
This year? I don't
Jerod think Mayo, you think, wants to go 0-17?
I don't think he wants to go 0-17, but I don't think he would be upset if they get the number one pick. I think he's looking to do something special, And I told you last segment or an hour ago what special was. Special is spending $150 million. Special is picking at the top of the round. Special is injecting talent into this roster and going, boom, we're going from worst to first. We're making history. So I'll change it a little bit. Instead of going 0-17 to 17-0, how about we say they go 2-15 to 15-2? Is that more palatable and believable on both ends?
It's more palatable, but it's not more believable. I don't think.
I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they have visions of 2025 grandeur.
That sounds to me like,
they got a plan. What do you want?
Dumb
they got a
optimism.
Plan.
It does. I mean, it's a plan. Fine. The plan involves just sticking with our own guys and not really going outside of our comfort zone. That's how the plan started.
That's how the plan started.
Well, I don't like the start of the plan.
Foundation of core talent. And then you're going to complement that through the draft. You're going to go out in free agency and get the elite talent. And boom, you've turned it around. I think they have a plan that's something like that. I may be over-dramatizing it for the radio, but I think their plan is something
like that. A lot has to go right for that plan to, or wrong, I guess. A lot has to
wrong this year and right next year.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I mean, that's going to be a big turnaround. And I'd love to see it too. Obviously, I want the team to be good. I just feel like throwing this year away and just saying, well, you know, we drafted a quarterback at third overall, and we spent a lot of money, but it was just on our own guys, and we'll build the team out, and eventually we'll have something you can watch. I don't know. It's just that makes it seem like this season doesn't matter, and I don't like that whole philosophy.
It matters. Wins don't matter.
Okay, well, that's sort of what I mean. 617-779-7937. Ralph is in Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys. First of all, I agree with you totally. I mean, you had all this money. I mean, I would have expected at least a good offensive lineman, a decent receiver, not blow it all and not go crazy. But I mean, they brought two guys from the outside. Nobody even knows who they are, and they re-signed their own players. Now, could this be that Mayo's trying to win with Brissett as many games as he can, worried more about that than building this team for the future, which they should be doing? And, of course, you know, this general manager, his job is not that safe right now. These guys have to prove themselves, too. But I cannot see sitting there's no reason to me to sit May down, especially I saw Bledsoe when they drafted him when I was real young. I saw Jim Plunkett come in. They didn't sit those guys down. They drafted him at the top when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. I think they were both number one picks.
They were.
They didn't sit him down. They played him. And nobody wants to go see Brissett. You're going to lose money on concessions. You're going to lose money on shirts. I mean, I just can't see it. You know, if we're going to suck, let's see what this kid can do.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ralph. I kind of agree. I mean, I just think in the sense of wanting to build something for the future, I think you can do that without having to just be a dumpster diving team this season. I don't think that was necessary. I think when you have a third overall pick and a ton of money to spend, you should have been able to put something together better than this. And I blame that on Elliott Wolf. Elliott Wolf is the reason why Drake May is not starting. That's the reason why. They're not starting him because they think that Brissett's better. They're starting him because they're scared of the team that's around him. And that's a team that Elliott Wolf put together. And that's, I don't like that.
I don't disagree with the Elliott Wolf criticism. I believe that he should have targeted the left tackle position more specifically, not just, right tackles can play left tackles. That's a little bit like a good coach is a good coach, Bill Belichick said. So if you can coach defense, you can coach offense, right? Mm-hmm. That's how this works. Nope, right. We've learned that's not how this works, Bill. There are experts for a reason. There are specific skills for a reason. I just think the difference between you and I is you believe they could have put together a pretty good team. I believe they could have put together a less crappy team, less dramatically crappy.
Okay.
That's and I think they would have been a 4 or 5 win team instead of a 2 or 3 win team or something like that with Jonah Williams at left tackle.
I think with their defense how it is, which I consider it a good defense. It's overrated maybe, but I still think it's good.
Two best players aren't here anymore.
That's true, but I still think they're a pretty good defense, all right? You know, I mean, listen, Judon wasn't there last year and neither was Gonzalez. So I think that they're still Barmore had a good season, but I still think that they're pretty good. All right? They're the strength of this team, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And any games they win, I think they're going to win because of the defense. But either way, with that intact and just a couple of additions, I'm not talking about, you know, doing what you did in 2021. I would have liked to see that with all the money they had to spend, but just a couple of additions here and there. A number one wide receiver.
So let's say
starting left
Jonah
tackle,
Williams.
I feel like that would have made such a big difference.
Like, no, because I hate vagaries. I hate when people say you got to get this and this, like it's a
Jonah Williams, Calvin Ridley, boom,
that,
right there.
You'd be happy.
Yes.
I think long term it would be the worst thing that could ever happen to this team. Because you
the
just
worst
spent
thing that could ever happen to this
you
team?
Just spent approximately $125 million.
Uh-huh.
On those two guys, used
sure.
up a massive amount of money to get a Jag wide receiver.
He's not a Jag wide receiver.
Yeah, he is. Running the
guys you have on the team now are Jag wide receivers.
I don't think they're up to Jag status.
Okay, fine.
He's Jag.
Whatever. He's better than a Jag.
But you didn't get a number one star receiver.
1,000-yard receiver last year, Calvin Ridley.
He changes nothing for the long term. He's meh. He's milktoast. And you got
a
left tackle.
How can you say he changes nothing for the long term if you give him to Drake May and all of a sudden Drake May has a legit number one receiver?
Well,
that doesn't change things
because he's
not
a legit number one receiver. I want Drake May to have a legit. No, no, no. That's not the same thing. He would be a number one receiver on this team. He would not be a legit number one receiver. Just like Jonah Williams would be your left tackle and a starter, he wouldn't be a high-end left tackle. You'd be spending a lot of money on mediocrity.
Ridley in Jacksonville had 76 catches for 1,016 yards and 8 touchdowns last year.
Okay.
That's not a number one receiver?
I don't believe it is.
Jacoby Myers wasn't
a number one receiver. Jacoby Myers had 80 catches for Ridley or Myers? To be a true number one receiver?
No, on your team right now, I'm saying. Who do you think would be a better addition to the team?
Well, I would take Myers because he's much cheaper.
Well, he's
I think
cheaper,
he's paid
fine,
closer to his level of performance.
Who's better?
Who's better? Probably Ridley.
I agree.
But Ridley's not a number one. I want a number one receiver and a true left tackle. And those are going to come next offseason. And you won't regret it if you make the right decisions. You're going to be swimming in that pool.
Jonah Williams isn't a legit left tackle?
I don't believe he is.
Okay,
the Bengals didn't want him.
Sure, fine. I mean, guys didn't want...
The Bengals' weakness was offensive line.
The Niners didn't want McGlinchey. Guys end up as free agents sometimes. That doesn't always happen. Ridley, wait. I mean, listen, he was a guy that ended up out there in the market.
No, there's a difference between financial decisions and replacing people. When you're a team like the Niners, you have to make financial decisions. I can't have Trent Williams and McGlinchey and Debo and Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey and a quarterback.
Fine.
You make decisions. The Bengals didn't want Jonah Williams. That's a different thing. That's not they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want him.
They upgraded his position.
Yeah.
They brought in a new guy who was a Pro Bowl caliber talent, which Williams is not. I'll agree with you there.
Right.
But he's still someone that went out and got a big contract in the offseason.
Sure.
And it's not because he sucks.
That doesn't mean he's good.
It doesn't mean you're getting return on investment. Fine. I think you would be.
You have not stabilized the left tackle position for the foreseeable future with Drake May, just like you wouldn't stabilize his number one receiver position. You would make it better for him to play right away.
Yes.
So you would, in the short term, make the team better suited for him, and in the long term, you'd hinder his development.
I don't think it would hinder
his development. They're trying to thread the needle and bring it all together with a stud QB, a stud left tackle, a stud wide receiver, and... Woo, the rocket ship takes off.
Aren't we all worried about ruining Drake May this year by playing him?
He's not playing, so we don't have to worry
about it. Fine, but the reason he's not playing is because you're worried you're going to ruin him because you don't have a left tackle and you don't have any wide receivers.
I'm not, because I don't think you can break a diamond, even so some guy on the text line told me it's very easy with a hammer.
It's very easy to do that, actually. I'm not a diamond expert. I couldn't tell you, but I'm going to trust the text line over you.
If I ever have a diamond, I'm not going to try to find out if I can break it because I'd be selling it because it's a diamond.
True. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls next. Rap Sheet with the news this morning. Him and Schefter, with their scheduled tweets, had that one about 20 minutes before the big press conference, which some local media was not happy about, which I get that. I wouldn't be happy about that either. I schlep all the way down there.
Yeah, it's not so much the...
For a 90-second press conference.
Yeah, that would get me. Not the story breaking. That's the way media works
now. I mean, they get
now.
Scooped by Schefter. Everybody gets scooped by Schefter and the Rap Sheet.
So, basketball. Yeah. Who does it in basketball?
Woj and Shams. Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, the Heyman and whoever does it in baseball. There's a couple people that get all the scoops because teams realized those guys got like a million followers. And when I need them
in
to
the NHL, Rich Keefe.
Right.
Right.
Rich Keefe, million followers.
Of course.
And when I need a story out there, I'll go to Rich Keefe and he'll make my Bruins look good if I need to.
Exactly.
I want to go to the text line. We're going to appreciate the text line here on the afternoon show.
Because it deserves appreciation.
I think it does. They're invested listeners. They took
they
the time.
To tell me that I suck and that they hate me and all that other stuff.
Well,
yes.
It wasn't suck. It was you're a putz.
Ah.
I don't know if that's in
there.
He's
a putz.
A little bit. Speaking of suck, 508 says they're, Patriots, going to be boring suck. Fun suck is better than boring suck.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Yes.
You like fun suck?
I sure do.
Settle down. Then we have more positive people. 413, Coach Mayo will be fine. We're on to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that? Is he going to be fine?
No.
Do you think he's going to... Will he get a second contract in New England?
Yes.
Oh, he will?
I think he will.
Second contract? Not a second season.
How long is his contract for right now?
I don't know. It's got to be a multi-year deal.
Multi-years, yeah.
I don't think he got a one-year deal.
I think he will. I think they believe in him. I think that they're going to try and make it work.
I'm not sure about that. He'll get a second season.
I think he can't. Okay, fine. He'll definitely get a second season. I think the Crafts are going to try because he's not in general, whenever an ownership group hires a coach, that's their guy. But yeah. I feel like in this case with Mayo, it goes deeper than that. You know, it's like he was already here. He already worked for the, you know, for the corporation. Like they really
the corporation.
I forget what it's called. The Optum, right. And they made a whole big song and dance about how much they believe in him and how they think he's going to be the next guy for the future. And I just think that for their own sort of self-preservation, unless things go so badly, and I'm maybe betting that that doesn't happen, that they don't just go in the tank for the next 3 years, I think they'll give him another contract.
Rank these three people in terms of their length of their Patriots careers moving forward. Drake May, Elliot Wolf, Gerard Mayo. Who's here the longest? Who's here the shortest?
Mayo 1, May 2, Wolf 3.
You think Wolf is the first one out?
Yes. I think Wolf will get scapegoated. I think Wolf will get scapegoated for these first two seasons.
Wolf scapegoated. That's kind of fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, sure. Didn't think of that. But yeah, I think that he's going to be the one. And listen, I'm already starting it, all right, because of the way that this is all being handled right now. I blame more on Elliot Wolf certainly than I do Gerard Mayo or Drake May. And I think that that's something that you're going to see. They don't have the same kind of faith in Wolf as they do in Gerard Mayo. And they didn't put their full power of the Kraft, you know, propaganda machine behind him like they did for Gerard Mayo. They wouldn't even give him the job until after the draft. So I think he's on much more thin ice than these other guys.
I am going to say it is May, Wolf, Mayo.
Really?
I think May is legit. You know I love him.
Right.
I'm probably snookered. I think, and if May is legit, doesn't that validate Wolf? He picked him at 3?
Sure.
And if he has a couple other moves, like you could argue, Robert may look back and say, thank you for not spending $90 million on Calvin Ridley, because then you spent $110 million on a much better receiver or whatever. If he handles this well, where I'm still not sold, I'm not sold if Mayo even likes the job. I can't imagine he's enjoyed this 4 or 5 months of us shredding.
He does seem
every...
a little frazzled, doesn't he? I mean, like, yeah, there is an element of that.
He has
for sure.
stepped in it often. Yeah. We pointed out, like, does it seem fun to you? Does it seem like what he's doing is fun? Because it doesn't seem fun to me.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, it's not, you know, Bill Belichick will tell you it's maybe not the most fun job in the world.
No, it isn't.
I think when you look at the situation here, if May's good, that could be a reflection on Elliot Wolf, maybe. But I also look at it like, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, that team got better. They eventually made one playoff game, but they haven't exactly gone, you know, flying out of the gate. And who do you take it out on? You know, you don't take it out on Herbert. You don't necessarily did take it out on the head coach, I guess.
Well, they got, he got the head fired. Coach and GM
and the
got
GM
canned.
Both got canned. So maybe maybe that's not a great example. But I just don't think that, you know, even if the quarterback ends up being a good prospect, that's necessarily going to reflect so well on the guy that drafted him. I don't know. I mean, unless they really start winning playoff games, then that could be a different story. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got some bonus baseball here for you coming up as we get ready for the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Joe Weil is going to have the Mass Mutual pregame show. We're going to take you right up to that next. Into the bonus hour here. Not quite an hour. We got about 10 minutes left here on the WEEI afternoon show. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, as we take you up to Red Sox pregame here. And by the way, the Red Sox on WEEI brought to you by our New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox, who, by the way, are pulling a lot of people back in. Not me. I'm still holding out. But a lot of people, like Andy Hart here, wearing his City Connect T-shirt.
Damn
which,
right.
By the way, there is a fella on Twitter who is watching us at home with his wife, girlfriend, I'm not sure who it was. And she was wearing that same shirt. And there's now a tweet about that out there. You got the fashionista.
It's a good shirt.
Basically,
you don't see a lot of yellow shirts.
Fashion icon over here. My son has that shirt. I bought him that shirt over
shirt.
There. He wears it to school
good
all the
hoodie.
Time.
I got the light blue shorts to match. Maybe I'll break those out tomorrow because, well, I'm only doing that if they win.
Okay, fair enough.
A
lot of people didn't like these jerseys when they came out.
How do you not like it?
I think they're great. I love the color scheme.
Yes.
I love that UCLA yellow and blue Chargers color scheme. I think
and
it's
then
a great
you tie
color
it
scheme.
Into the marathon.
Absolutely.
Now, some people didn't like that. Some people did. Whether it's respectful or whether it's kind of making a buck off the marathon, there's some different theories there.
What's wrong with making a buck off the marathon?
Well, I think tragedy and history and sort of tapping into that financially is a...
Well, the Red Sox were, I think, very much a part of that, you know?
Like, yeah, no, I'm for it. I'm just saying there are, I think, some people that are sensitive to it. But no, I like the color, and you'll see the light blue in the UCLA tomorrow if they take care of their business tonight.
All right.
What'd you say, Cutter?
Yes, it's Cutter Crawford going tonight against someone whose name I didn't recognize when I first looked at it, and now I can't remember it. So there you
it
go.
It was but Francis.
Yeah, it's Cutter Lighten Crawford going against Bowden Francis, as the Red Sox now try to win their third game in a row here, as they've put a little streak together, and it just so happens to be coinciding with the Minnesota Twins, who are spiraling out of control, got smoked last night by Chris Sale and the Braves, and who I believe don't play today. It's a getaway day for most of the league, so I think, yeah, you have a chance to gain a half game here and get to within 2.5 games. If they're 2.5 games out by this time tomorrow, there's going to be hard for me to maintain my stance that this is not a team that's going to be making the playoffs.
Not really. They're still 2.5 out.
They're still 2.5 out, but that's very close to that third. And I basically wrote them off as dead. Now, you know, here's the question. I think this is the big question for Red Sox fans here, especially the ones who've been in my face about, wow, look at them, they're winning now.
You think you think Cora will say, you know, we didn't really do much. We won a few games, and Minnesota happened to lose a few games, so the numbers
shrunk. The standings changed, right. As you know, mathematically, that's what happened.
Does he look at it the same both ways? Because I'm guessing he feels good about the way his team is playing.
I would think, and he should. I mean, they are bouncing back here and being resilient, as they have been for most of the season. That's not the question, though. The question here I have for you, Red Sox fans, is do you think what we saw in the last week was the last time they're going to have a dip this year?
No.
No. So if that's the case, I don't see them making the play. I'm sorry.
The dip could start tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean negative, but the dip could start anytime. This is who they are. There is a certain inconsistency to their style of play and their level of play, like the success rate of this team. It's why I kind of agree with you that they probably are not a playoff team. They're more of a tease than they are someone ready to really put it together for a stretch run. And I think the Hamilton thing is like sneaky kind of a big deal.
I think so too.
Like if you're a team that's right on the cusp and you said yesterday, I think it was you, or maybe it was the nerd, that said they're going to win with their offense. It was the nerd. Going to win with their offense. Mm-hmm. He's been a part of that. He steals a base here. He's got a little life to him. Like there's value in the way he plays. And I think that's and 4 to 6 weeks. I saw Bradfo tweeted is the expected return date. So it's not 10 days. It's 4 to 6 weeks, hopefully on the shorter side, but and they're only like,
there's
five
only
and a half
4 weeks left
of
the season. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Then it's over. So, I mean, you're going to September 29th. You're not even getting to the end of the month. So
your middle relievers that you added at the deadline are on IL.
Mm-hmm.
Your sneaky, important second baseman, middle
shortstop
infielder,
guy,
speed guy is on IL. I don't think that's how you trend toward success, even with an aberrationally good start by a guy like Bayo.
Yeah, also Rafael Devers day-to-day with that shoulder.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. You know, shoulders.
Multiple shoulders. Multiple shoulders.
The S is needed there. Two of them. Both of them.
And that's, you break it all down there. You lose Devers if he's not himself for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Are we expecting them to continue playing well? The only real hot streak they've had, the only time they ever really put it together, was from the middle of June until right to the All-Star break. That was their best stretch of play this entire season. If they can tap back into that, and that was about a month, if they can tap back into that, maybe a little less, then you might have something there. But based on what this team's looked like since the All-Star break, this last two games notwithstanding, I mean, two wins is nice, but come on. You're talking about the big picture since the All-Star break. It's been kind of a disaster. I mean, it's really, you're looking at a team that had a ton of momentum going into that break and then came out of it, got smoked by the Dodgers, and never really got off the mat.
Yes, but I would also say the flip side of that is if Tanner Houck pitches good, not great, I don't need the one ERA, but good, and then Brian Bayo is going to pitch. He's been trending in the right direction. Not fair to ask for eight innings and no runs, shutout.
Brian Bayo keeps pitching like this, then yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you put two pitchers together that you can trust, that's a way to counteract some of the things that are going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't bet on them. In fact, I bet on the under. I'm not going to probably win the under. I don't think they're going to nosedive and tank like they had
like
the potential
last year,
to.
Right.
They've kind of pulled out of that. It felt like they might have been on the cusp of that, and I think that's why their manager said, why don't you guys take a little time off? You seem like you're about ready to implode, so let's see if we can avoid implosion again.
Doing that all week.
And it's worked.
It worked.
Skipper of the year, according to you.
Don't let them hear you say that, but
I can't
believe
you did that.
I really didn't know that. Honestly, I plead ignorance. I had no idea. I like Alex. You know, we've been interviewing him all last year, and I think we get along well.
All I could think of was, call me Elf one more time.
Seriously.
You're lucky he wasn't there. I think he would have come over the desk.
Yeah, maybe.
That would have been good for the Netflix series. By the way, Rob Bradford says that the Netflix cameras aren't around anymore. Maybe they're coming back now. You know, maybe
they lost interest.
Maybe
now they got a little more interest
now that they stink. But like, I also feel like that's compelling, right? Isn't that part of it? Right?
Your Netflix.
What are you abandoning the team now? I know you got all these other things going on here. Netflix. You got your Vince McMahon documentary. You got your new NBA starting five thing with DeMontis Sabonis, and you know Tatum and Jimmy Butler and all those guys. But you don't have to forget about the Red Sox. You know, you don't have to just completely let them fall by the wayside there. By the way, those Netflix guys, when they come in and tape the interviews sometimes, very, very nice people.
Oh, really?
And they all say the same thing. They say the most fun part of this has been covering Tristan Cassis because he's always doing something weird, and it's always makes for good television.
He would drive me nuts.
If he was your teammate.
The red, I don't know what you call that, snorkel, hoodie, whatever the hell he wears.
It looked like some sort
of
ski mask thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that.
When you get to Fenway, you'll notice this when you get there.
Shiesty. Kids call it. Shiesty.
He'll be out there like doing he's not nude, but he's like basically doing nude yoga out there on the field.
Why does he have to wear the shiesty?
Just to, you know, it's what the kids are doing.
Are they?
Is that what it's called? It's called a shiesty?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But why do you have to wear that?
Fashion. Look it up.
Look what up?
Look up fashion in the dictionary. You'll see a picture of a guy wearing a shirt.
Wearing a shiesty with no shirt doing yoga barefoot?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You just don't understand fashion. You know,
I don't think that's fashion. That's just flat out weird.
It is weird.
Fun suck is better than boring suck.
Amen, brother. Indeed. All right. That's all the time we have here.
So you wouldn't take boring suck?
Well, I probably would. Joe Weil has got you for the Mass Mutual pregame show that's coming up right now. Nice job behind the glass there to Jackson. I want to say thanks to Tommy Curran. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock to close out the week here on a Patriots Friday. Have a good day, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.